with this young man? Sir, were you appointed in this case?
Yes.
Thank you very much. You did a very good job and for giving it all the attention that you did. Case number four, please. Scarbeck versus Barnhart. You did very well.
If it may please the court, good morning. My name is Stephen Jackson, and I represent the plaintiff appellant Norbert Scarbeck in this issue. Under Social Security policy, which is reflected in the rulings, an ALJ, an administrative law judge, has an affirmative duty to consider obesity at steps 2 through 5 of the sequential evaluation process when determining whether or not a claimant qualifies for disability benefits. 003P, Social Security ruling 003P, which was applicable at the time of the hearing, outlines that responsibility the ALJ must follow. The importance of considering obesity is so dramatic and so significant to the process that Social Security continues to update that regulation, to update that ruling in that process in Social Security ruling 021P, which applies to cases that are submitted today. But here in this case, the administrative law judge failed to consider obesity at any step of the process. And that error is so significant that it tainted the entire process. The ruling is very clear that the consideration of obesity is important, and that even if the evidence does not indicate a diagnosis of obesity, but there are clinical notes or other evidence that the presence of obesity must be evaluated by the administrative law judge. Now, in this case, Scarbeck's record contains evidence of obesity. In fact, the state agency doctor that conducted a residual functional capacity assessment the year before noted that that obesity was a secondary diagnosis. And Mr. Scarbeck's own treating physician expressed concern about his increasing weight. And Dr. Graham, who is another examining physician, described in his opinion and his review of Mr. Scarbeck that he was overweight. Here, the administrative law judge failed to reconcile what effect that obesity would have on Mr. Scarbeck's ability to sustain work over an 8-hour day, 5 days a week, 50 weeks out of the year. And without considering that obesity factor, the administrative law judge's decision is not supported by substantial evidence. The ruling is very clear on the issue. The combined effects of obesity with other impairments may be greater than might be expected with obesity alone or with osteoarthritis alone. One of the examples given in Social Security ruling 003P specifically instructs that a person with obesity and arthritis may have more pain and more limitation than may be expected with arthritis alone. Earlier this year,
the orthopedic surgeon said that he could work at some other job. Didn't he?
There were
4 hours and without interruption, that he could lift up to 25 pounds.
I believe you're referring to the medical assessment that was submitted by his own treating physician, Dr. Anabnit.
Yeah.
That doctor concluded that he had the functional capacity to work somewhere between a sedentary or a light work level. He did conclude that he had some capacity for work. However, it's the administrative law judge's responsibility to evaluate what the residual functional capacity of the claimant is, and to consider all the relevant factors, including the obesity. And since the ALJ did not consider the obesity factor, it was never overlaid upon the ALJ's finding that Mr. Scarbeck could perform medium work, we really don't have an accurate residual functional capacity assessment that was presented to the vocational expert at the hearing.
Why isn't Mr. Scarbeck's own testimony about his abilities enough reason to discredit the opinion of his treating physician. In other words, he indicated that he completes all sorts of tasks that his doctor thought he could not complete.
I'm not sure which tasks you're actually referring to.
Well, many of the things that he can do, his doctor seemed to think he couldn't do.
His doctor expressed the opinion regarding his ability to lift, and that was in a letter that was submitted after the hearing. I believe that the doctor expressed the opinion that he felt that Mr. Skarbek could only lift maybe 10 to 15 pounds before he began to experience pain. The kind of activities that Mr. Skarbek discussed at the hearing were things such as doing the dishes, doing a little bit of light housework, those sort of daily activities that I think all of us engage in at some level. But having failed, the ALJ having failed, though, to consider on top of those activities of daily living that Mr. Skarbek did have obesity and some of the additional effects of obesity that are described in 003P, the RFC, the residual functional capacity assessment that he reached, does not accurately reflect those tasks that he can do.
I guess I was thinking about the fact that he testified, you know, that he could lift 50 pounds, he could mow his small lawn if he took breaks, he could drive, he swam, he rode a stationary bike, you know, with no hardship. That's the kind of thing I
think if we go back to the first one that you mentioned, that he did testify that he could lift 50 pounds, but there's really no context for that question or that answer. We don't know if what he meant by being able to lift 50 pounds would equate to being able to lift 50 pounds a third of the day, which is a requirement under medium work. So there's really no overlay to understand what he meant when he responded to that question, and unfortunately there is no follow-up questioning on the part of either the attorney or the administrative law judge there. So that 50 pounds is really somewhat in a vacuum. And I think that the other activities that Mr. Skarbek testified about, in particular he testified that in good weather he could swim, and he also rode a stationary bicycle, that these were exercises that his doctor recommended that he perform to keep his legs and his knees working correctly. But then he also credibly testified that after doing so, he had to elevate his legs and either ice or apply heat, and the extreme swelling prevented him from really doing any activity after that point. So I see that my time is up. If there are no more questions, thank you.
Thank you, Gazem.
If it pleases the court, Patrick Nagel on behalf of the appellee, the Commissioner of the Social Security Administration. The appellant today has argued that the administrative law judge erred by not considering obesity under Social Security ruling 003P. It's important to note, preliminarily, that the appellant, then the claimant, did not allege when he applied for disability that he was obese. His attorney at the administrative hearing did not allege any functional limitations due to obesity. His treating physician did not diagnose him as obese. Two orthopedic specialists examined him, did not diagnose him as obese. All of these doctors examined him, presumably understanding his body stature, and performed physical examinations and concluded that he could perform a range of medium work activity. That's consistent with the ALJ's residual functional capacity assessment. The only mention of the word obesity in this record is from a reviewing physician who listed a secondary diagnosis of obesity in his report, the same report where he found that the appellant, even as an obese person, could perform a medium range of work activity. That's consistent with the administrative law judge's opinion. In fact, there's not a single doctor in this entire record who said that there were any functional limitations caused by the claimant's obesity which are not adequately dealt with the administrative law judge's residual functional capacity assessment. To the extent that the plaintiff testified at the hearing that he could perform a wide range of activities further belies his argument. He testified that he bathed and groomed himself, that he did wash dishes, he did do his own laundry, he He mowed his lawn. He visited his family. He ate at restaurants. He did ride a stationary bike. He did swim. He could lift 50 pounds. In fact, he testified that in the previous 2 months, he had driven 2,000 miles in his car. So, obviously, he's an active person. Dr. Inabit, his family physician, who submitted a one-page letter to the claimant's attorney after the hearing, stated that he felt that the claimant could only lift 5 to 10 pounds at a time and could only walk half a block at a time. That's directly in contrast to the plaintiff's own testimony 13 days before that, in fact, he could perform this wide range of activities, that he could lift 50 pounds, and that even on a bad day, he could walk continuously for 1 hour. This is wildly inconsistent with his family physician's report. That same report by the family physician is also manifestly inconsistent with the physician's own treatment records. Those treatment records show normal examination findings, normal x-ray findings, and no evidence of degenerative osteoarthritis, no mention in the record of any effort or need to perform work hardening or physical therapy. And in fact, the treating physician's records are, you know, relatively mild. I mean, they don't really reflect any problems. There are no cautions that the claimant should avoid certain activities or anything in that nature. That brings us to the two orthopedic specialists that examined him. They examined him specifically to determine how his knee pain would affect his ability to work. Those two doctors both found that he had mild osteoarthritis that prevented him from doing jobs that involved climbing and kneeling and squatting. That's the type of work that he had done before when he was a construction worker, heavy labor. He was lifting 50 to 80 pounds at a time. He was constantly on his feet. Frequently, he was squatting and climbing and kneeling and crouching. The administrative law judge noted those limitations that the orthopedic specialist found important, and the administrative law judge limited him to none of those. He said, you know, no climbing, no crouching, no crawling, only occasional stooping. But because those orthopedic specialists found that the claimant could still perform the walking and standing demands of his job as a construction laborer, the administrative law judge reasonably felt that that equated to medium work activity. Not only did he use those assessments, but he also had two reviewing medical opinions which concurred in that assessment that the appellant could perform a range of medium work activity. Basically, the administrative law judge arrived at a residual functional capacity assessment which was wholly consistent with all the examination evidence and with the opinions of four doctors of record. And in that sense, the administrative law judge met his burden in this case. And I would only ask this court respectfully to affirm the district court's decision in this matter. Thank you.
All right, counsel.
Thank you. I'd like to address a couple of issues that were just raised. In particular, there's the question of whether any doctor expressed functional limitations due to Mr. Skarbek's weight. When we take a closer look at those reports from the orthopedic physicians, first of all, those physicians examined Mr. Skarbek one time. And in fact, they examined him 12 and 15 months before the hearing. And those orthopedic physicians really only addressed the non-exertional limitations, the squatting, the kneeling. They don't address the issues of standing or lifting. So those orthopedic views are really rather limited. Second of all, we've talked about the activities of daily living, and scores of case law continue to hold that activities of daily living, such as the type expressed by Mr. Skarbek, don't necessarily equate to an ability to work 8 hours a day in a competitive environment. And in particular here, if we go back to the fact that the administrative law judge has never considered obesity in these factors.
He didn't plead obesity, did he?
Under the ruling, under Social Security ruling 003P, he doesn't have to plead that he...
But he didn't plead it.
He did not plead it.
Did he call it attention to the court?
It called attention to the attention of the court through the medical records. It exists in Dr. Graham's report. It exists in testimony at the hearing. He was asked about his weight. And it exists in the reviewing physician, the Dr. Corcoran, who completed a residual functional capacity assessment.
And you think that the ALJ was wrong in not discussing it, even though this man did not address it as an issue?
Yes, the ALJ was wrong not to address it anywhere in the decision.
I said even though this individual himself, the claimant, didn't ask for.
Even though the claimant did not ask for it. The Social Security ruling 003P seems very clear on that issue. And it's such an important issue that the administrative law judge has an affirmative duty to fully develop the record on that point. Thank you very much.
Thank you, counsel. Thank you. We will proceed to case